Well, we're called to do all kinds of difficult things, duties of one sort or another that are a challenge. We do them anyway because that's the call upon us. One of the most difficult things we have to do, I think, is to try and rehabilitate some of the words that have been taken over and are no longer being used in ways that are helpful, well, to anyone. We tend to devalue words. For example, the word awesome, that at one point referred to something that was so overwhelmingly magnificent that it would drive you to your knees or perhaps flat on the ground, now means, oh, I don't know, the latest fast food that you've tried. So what are we to do when we run into problems like that? I mean, to me that's just an irritation. We've already have lots of words to explain things we like. We can say, I like what I just had. We don't have to tell people it was awesome. And now we've lost awesome for what it really means. I can live with that loss. But one of the most frustrating losses is the loss of the word religion. And we're now to the point where people will say with a completely straight face and communicate well that they are not religious, they are spiritual. I expect spiritual is on its way out if we're not careful. I'm not sure how it will go or where it will go, but it's hard to hold on to these. Philip Yancey, as a matter of fact, says that the only theologically significant word that hasn't been devalued is the word grace. So I hope we can hold on to that one because that's one of my favorite words. But this morning we're going to talk about religion. And just briefly, and it's one of those things that people don't like to talk about. People very seldom refer to themselves as religious because the connotations that come with that are those of rigidity, of being unreasonable, depending what sort of who you're speaking to, it can be all the way to bigoted and intolerant, all of those things. And yet that's not what religion is all about. That's not what being religious is all about. For a long time, it was simply a way to describe the difference between somebody who was professionally engaged in the work of the church and those who weren't. If you were a religious, it meant you were a priest or a nun or a lay worker in a convent, monastery, whatever it might be. You were doing that as your responsibility in the church. And now we're stuck with the point where we can't use the word at all. Or can we? Frustrating as it might be to have to explain sometimes what we mean by a particular word, I don't want us to lose the word religious, and I don't want us to lose religion, because it's a word that shows up in the Bible. It's one thing for us to lose words that just arose 100 years or 1,000 years ago, for whatever reason, or their meanings have changed. Something as trivial as ravel and unravel, which now both mean the same thing, is just neither here nor there, really. But religion is something that we need to pay attention to. And in the book of James, James speaks often of religion. And what he's saying over and over again is that religion is important. But we need to know what we're doing. And that's where the sermon title comes from, asking the question, another question of course, religion or true religion? And it's obvious to me that there was at least some kind of a problem with the word religion a couple of thousand years ago when James wrote this, or he wouldn't have to say something like, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. And then he goes on to describe what it is. James talks about true religion in some translations. True religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. How could anybody be opposed to that? If you describe yourself to someone, because James is using orphans and widows and looking after them as a symbol, if you will, as a stand-in for all of the things that we're called to do. He's not saying that if you know of no orphans and you know of no widows, you have nothing to do. No, he's saying that what we do is we care for those who need care. And so if you describe yourself to someone as a kind of person who is alert to the possibility to make a difference, a significant difference in the lives of people who need what you have to offer, whether it's your skills and abilities, whether it's money, whether it's just being with them, whatever else it might be, no one is going to say there's something wrong with you for doing that. And then when you say, and that's me being religious, they're going to look at you kind of sideways. They say, no, that's not religious. Being religious means that you don't talk to people who don't go to the same church as you, or whatever else it might be. But that's not religion. That's religiosity, perhaps. But what it frequently is just our own fallen human nature hiding behind the label of religion to not do those things that we know we should do and to live lives that are generally disagreeable. I think we need to try and get this word back. We're not going to make a difference in the entire world. There aren't enough of us, and as anyone who follows language knows, that when language makes its ship, we're just stuck with it. For example, if you refer to knitting as unraveling, going back to the original use of when you take something apart, you ravel it. You don't unravel it, except now you unravel it. So if you call knitting unraveling, people look at you like you're insane. We can't stem the tide, perhaps. But what we can do is we can make our own small efforts when people describe religion and being religious as an unpleasant thing, to ask them why. And see if they've been hurt by the church or by someone who is identified as a church person. And if they're one of those people who's had an unfortunate experience, whether it's a profoundly unfortunate experience or just it didn't work out, or they were made to feel inferior by someone, and they applied all of that onto religious people, you can take care of them as if they are an orphan or a widow. And you can tell them that you're sorry that happened, and that it doesn't reflect what you think, and it doesn't reflect what the Bible says and what Jesus taught. And while you may not be able to rehabilitate their use of the word religion, what you can do is you can bring comfort. You can try and restore this person to a more positive response to God. Because whether we like it or not, God has put the church on earth to do his work. And it doesn't mean that we don't do his work when we're outside of the church. Of course we do, the physical building. But it's the people of God that do the work of God. And if someone, misunderstanding what their call was, has damaged someone or made it virtually impossible for them to hear what God wants for them, we can do our part in the exercise of true religion to try and counteract that. We tend, if we're not careful, to look at lots of things in the New Testament, and particularly in James, and put it in very narrow categories. Because I've run across people who think that what James is saying is you have to look after orphans and widows, and then you have to keep yourself from being polluted by the world by stepping entirely away from the world and having no interactions with it. And nothing could be further than the truth. What James is saying is that when we are truly religious, when we are truly following God, when we're living out the relationship we have with him through Jesus, with the Holy Spirit within us, energizing and providing us with spiritual gifts to offer to the world, that's true religion. And we keep ourselves from being polluted by the world, not by staying out of it, but by not taking all of its values into ourselves. By not saying that we have to be so in the world that there's no difference between us and anyone else. That's how we keep ourselves from being polluted, is by maintaining that sense of who we are and who we are in God. And so when we expand what true religion is and realize that it's not just us here this morning worshiping together, although that's certainly part of it, but it's bringing to bear everything we have to the benefit of a hurting world. And one of the best ways to do that is when somebody mentions something about how the church is bad or how religious people are this or are that, is if you have the time, if you're able to interact and engage with them, is to find out why. Is to try and address that hurt, whatever it is, if you can, even if it's something as simple as an apology. I know you didn't do it, but you've been identified with the group that did, and you can bring a measure of healing to those people. It doesn't mean that you're going to take on all of their difficulties. That's probably not what we're equipped for. But it does mean that we say, no, the church is made up of human beings, some of whom have problems that make it difficult for them to communicate these truths, and they got it wrong with you. Can I show you what it's really like? Can I talk to you about what my relationship is with God? Can I talk to you about what my church is like, that is delighted to have anyone join us? It doesn't matter what you believe. If you want to be with us, we want you here. It doesn't matter what color you are or how old you are, how much money you have. None of those things matter. We bring this word back when we bring people back. We rehabilitate the word religion when we start drawing the distinction within our own minds that religion isn't the form of what we do. The fact that we sing from a hymn book isn't what makes us truly religious, any more than some people who don't sing from a hymn book and sing from an overhead projector. That doesn't make them religious and us not. It's not the form ever. It's the ultimate reality of our relationship with God and our willingness to care for the people around us, whatever that takes. And when we do that, James says that's when we're doing true religion. True religion is this: when we are alert to the opportunities to care for people, and when we're aware that we can be tainted and changed by the views and values of the world if we're not careful. That's true religion. And how could anyone object to that? How could anyone object to a group of people who want to care for those around them? Don't be put off when people characterize the church, the religious people, in a particular way. Instead, take the opportunity to see if you can provide care. I said we're looking to rehabilitate the word at the beginning just so I could talk about words, which I love very, very much. I love the English language and what it can do. But if we never get back the word religion, but we all practice true religion, it doesn't matter what we call it. We'll be doing what we have been created and equipped and placed on the earth to do, which is to care for people and to keep ourselves from being tainted by the views and values of the world. And when we do that, we've done everything we've been asked to do, and we continue to bring glory to God whenever we do it. So religion, or true religion, or whatever you want to call it, we do what we're called to do and let other people worry about what to call it. Amen.